The book of Esther, if you haven't read it all the way through, is truly an incredible story. You've got everything: romance, action, mystery, and intrigue. It's no wonder that Hollywood has made several incredible movies based off of the book of Esther. But Esther has something I think a lot of us overlook. Most of the time you'll hear preaching and sermons on the story of God's love and sovereignty in all circumstances, and that's absolutely in the book of Esther. But I think it's about something else. It's a story about masks, the masks that we wear, and the masks that one young woman had the courage to take off. Now, these masks don't always appear like the beautiful masks decorating the altar and in the narthex that Kim Palmer beautifully demonstrated for us. These are emotional and relational masks that we create out of defense, from our culture, out of survival, and ultimately out of shame. Masks, as author Brené Brown of the book Daring Greatly say, this is exactly how we protect ourselves from discomfort and pain. She states that we think if we allow ourselves to be truly and authentically seen, we will inevitably be hurt or taken advantage of. This results in placing masks over our true selves. I wear masks. We all do. Some masks we have worn for decades. Some masks we have worn since childhood because we realized, if I wear this, maybe I won't get hurt like I did when I was little. And they can seem practically undetectable, like a second skin for us. And most of you this summer, as we have been journeying towards wholehearted living, have thought, I can't take off my mask, Angie. I can't do that, Michelle, because nobody knows who I really am, not my spouse or my kids. I don't even know what I look like under here. It's too scary. We have worn masks because of shame, shame that entered in the garden. That scripture reading that Scott read for us this morning in Genesis 3, when we made the choice to choose sin, shame entered the world. And instead of Adam and Eve being comfortable with how God made them, they saw their nakedness and they hid. We still hide from our nakedness, our true selves. So just like Adam and Eve covered themselves with leaves and hid from God in the garden, we too cover ourselves with masks. The problem with these masks, as beautiful as they can appear, is that they leave us feeling frustrated and disconnected, because our real, raw selves are a gift to be shared. And when we hide from who we truly are, we deny the world of our beauty and the power of our story. So let's dive into Esther's story and see what she did with her masks. The book of Esther was set in the former land of Persia, which had just been taken over from Babylon in 470 BC. This is the post-exilic period when the Jewish people were finally allowed to go back and return to Jerusalem. And while most, well, 50,000 at least, Jewish people made the journey back to Jerusalem, there were still plenty of Jewish people that stayed in the exiled land of Persia. Some of these included Esther and her cousin Mordecai, like I had read previously. Now, because they were in Persia, they played by the rules. And an important fact to note is that the real name of our heroine in this story was actually not even Esther. You see, Jewish people during this time were stripped of their Hebrew names and were given new names. In this case, Esther's new name was a Persian name that many people went by. But her true name given at birth, like the scriptures tell us, was Hadassah. But nobody knew that. Nobody called her that. Her name was just one representation of the mask that she was wearing. And as we read, one day the king of Persia, Xerxes, began looking for a new queen. And Esther was one of the many women who went to the palace competing for King Xerxes' hand in marriage. It was like the ancient equivalent of the Bachelor television show. We can only imagine the drama that unfolds. But Esther wasn't herself in the palace. She couldn't be. It was too dangerous, too scary. Many biblical commentators speculate that there was a lot of anti-Semitism in Persia at this time, and the Jewish people were not always valued in that place. So Esther stayed in the palace wearing the mask of superficial beauty, the mask of people-pleasing, and the mask of an obedient, hopefully new Persian queen. And after many, many months of competing with the other women and lots of beauty treatments, and I'm sure lots of drama, King Xerxes' heart was won. And Esther was the new queen of Persia. Because God was truly giving Esther favor, even with her masks on. But as soon as she was crowned, the plot thickened. God was up to something big. And Mordecai, her cousin, came to Esther with some terrifying news, saying the king's highest advisor, Haman, had a plot to wipe out all of the Jewish people. Haman was an Amalekite. Now, why is that important? Well, the Amalekites were one of the tribes that Israel had defeated a couple of times. Remember the story we talked about on Father's Day where I said that Samuel had instructed Saul to defeat all of the Amalekites and kill the king, Agag? Well, he didn't do that. And Agag had an ancestor, Haman. So Haman was out for blood and vengeance. And Mordecai found this out and ran to the palace to say, Esther, the gig's up, okay? There was no more hiding behind her masks. The stakes were too high. She had to be brave. She had to expose herself for who she really was and petition to Xerxes on behalf of her people. Esther must have been terrified for many reasons. First and foremost, it was against the law at the time to approach the king without being summoned by him first. Anyone, including his own wife, would be put to death. In addition to this, she still didn't know how he was going to react to the fact that she was honestly and truly Jewish. So, with the strength and courage that the Lord had given her, and the support of all of the Jewish people behind her, Esther not only entered into the throne room of King Xerxes without being killed, but by the end of this incredible story, Esther was able to convince the king to save her people. And he did so joyfully. He said, up to half of my kingdom. He loved her. And God used Esther's vulnerability, her raw story, to save all of the Jews in the land of Persia. So, I ask us today, what false names have we been given that we have learned to respond to? What masks have we put on out of a defense or a hurt? Are we a perfectionist? I know I struggle with that. Do we wear a mask of control? Or maybe a mask of negativity and cynicism? What about anger? What about judgment? Our culture gives us competing and conflicting expectations, which is awful because we are constantly failing by the pressures of society to live up to something impossible. When the world tells us we need to have it all together all the time and put on the mask of perfectionism, the world also tells us don't make it look or seem like it's that difficult. And you know what perpetuates this? Social media. All of us in this room, no matter how old we are on Facebook. I know this because I'm most of your friends. And how many times, tell the truth, Have we been out with friends or family in the midst of relational drama and crisis, with people running around and kids messy and screaming, that we snap a photo and say, a perfect day with a perfect group of people? This is a social media mask. I did this on Friday night when we had a youth lock-in. It was insane. Lindsay and I were trying to keep the kids. It was hurting them like cats. And the few pictures we snapped, I posted, what a wonderful time. Now, it was a wonderful time, it was. But it was also exhausting and messy and hard, just like life is. Some of us don't struggle with perfectionism, but some of us wear the mask of judgment and criticizer. Now, I used to be really hurt by these people because I thought, well, they just have it all together and they criticize me because they think so highly of themselves. But this is not the case. The most critical people in our world are secretly even harder on themselves. And they put others down or criticize them in a way of making themselves feel higher. It's another form of survival. It's another defense mechanism. A huge shame factor for men, according to all the research Brené Brown has done, is that men wear the mask of, no matter what, do not appear weak. It's like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. They continue to scream, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, as they suffer and scramble, trying to be perceived as great and powerful. And women perpetuate this. These Wizard of Oz masks keep people out and push them away, and when it doesn't work, they struggle with the mask of detachment and anger. Whatever mask we wear, and yes, they change, we switch them out depending on what false self we are trying to mimic. Whatever they aren't sustainable. They aren't real. And the truth is, it's lonely to wear a mask, and exhausting, and ultimately suffocating. Because if you have a mask from when you were 6, and now you're 86, it's hard to grow into how God has truly made you. So Queen Esther had no connection to the people inside the palace. No one knew her true self until she took off her mask and told the truth. Even her husband didn't know her. He knew she was beautiful, but he didn't know of her faith in Yahweh and her courage and her strength until she dared to show him. Last week, Pastor Michelle preached on shame and how the antidote to shame is empathy. Empathy is the only way we can have the courage to take our masks off. Empathy is what Xerxes met Esther with. When she came and told him, he said, I see you, and I affirm you, and I love you. Empathy is what our community, our church family, meets us with. On the mission trip this month, Lindsay and David and I took our youth to the Navajo Nation in Fort Defiance, Arizona, and we all worked really hard on manual labor projects and playing with Navajo kiddos at a kids' club, and we loved the people well. But that's not why it was an amazing trip for me. That's not why, as a pastor, I thought it was an incredible success. What made this entire mission trip for me was watching masks come off. One by one, our group stopped pretending and performing and masquerading in what we thought the world wanted us to be and started being real with one another. Every evening, one or two people from our group would share their fears, their stories, their secrets, and the things that had brought them to their knees before the Lord. And it was the most sacred and precious time. Jesus was with us, smiling on our vulnerability. And every time someone would share, a miraculous thing would happen. Not only would pain and shame dissipate, but we would realize we actually have a lot more in common than we thought. we realize that many of us share the same background, family issues, and struggles. And as soon as we found that out, we were able to support each other in a way that we never could have before with those masks on. Each person was given empathy and love, and we stood in our worthiness together as a family. So yes, there is great risk in taking off masks. There is potential pain involved, but there is no reward if we keep those masks on. So today, let us take off our masks. Let us be brave like Queen Hadassah was, because loving ourselves and supporting each other in the process of becoming real is truly the greatest act of daring greatly there ever was. Amen.